I'm Kate Remington, talking with conductor David Rosenmeyer. He's the music director of the Fairfield County Chorale. The concert is Sunday, December 10th at 3 at Norwalk Concert Hall. And David, first of all, it's wonderful to have a chance to talk with you again. And we've got a great reason for connecting, too, because you're going to be conducting a complete version of The Messiah. So really can't wait to talk to you about that.
It's great to talk to you, Kate. Thank you so much.
Messiah is such an interesting piece because apart from, you know, a few years here and there, in the 200 and plus years that it's been around, there hasn't ever been a time when it hasn't been performed. And so how were you able to find a complete version of it?
Messiah is one of those pieces, like a good work of art, it keeps giving. There is always something new to find. You know, it's like going to the Met Museum and looking at the classic artists, and you can always find something that you left behind in that painting and also discovering something new. And Messiah is a little bit like that. It's very entertaining. It's very nice. It's pretty, but it also has many other layers, and it has a complexity that it's hard to express in words. So there is always something new to learn about it, about the work, and about ourselves doing that. So there's something about the scope of it that allows us to kind of get into that world and live in it for a few hours. And it just, you know, we really are transformed by it.
It really is just it's one of those pieces that you almost at this point know without knowing it, which is why it's so exciting that you're doing a complete version. And so by complete, what do you mean by that?
Handel wrote his oratorio in the middle of the 18th century, and then what happened is that it immediately had a great success, but it started being done in different ways, and when decades passed, there were different changes of fashion and even the forms of how music was made in terms of concerts attending and stuff like that and duration, so they started making kind of edited versions of The Messiah. And in a moment where music was expanding, they thought that the orchestration that Handel did was too simple and not interesting, so they started adding instruments. And then they said, well, this part is not so interesting for our tastes now, so we'll do just a part of it, a section. And then they said, let's just do a couple of choruses before the Mozart Requiem. And so it became kind of fashionable not to do the complete version. And fortunately, in some point in the 20th century, people start re-exploring to see what it really is and how it was kind of conceived by Handel for his own time and the people that he was thinking will be in his audience. So basically, we are going to do all the numbers that Handel wrote in the order of how he wrote. So that's kind of what we mean by the complete Messiah.
Wow, that's going to be a real revelation, I think, for a lot of people, because you're right. We are used to listening to it in a bunch of different versions. I mean, even Mozart created a version of it. And there's one version, you mentioned the larger and larger orchestras. At one point, there was a version for 525 choristers and performers, which is just unbelievable these days because we're used to much more authentic performances.
Yes, and the times we live now, it's a privilege because we can, in a very postmodern way, we can choose what we want. Because to be absolutely honest, I love many of the things of those big orchestrations. They find ways to show something of the music that, let's say, the original version does not show, and it's still relevant, and it's still important, and it's still interesting. At the same time, we have the work done in the last 40 or 50 years by the early music movement and musicologists and performers, kind of exploring what would be the original way of playing, and that is very illuminating. So in a way, what we are doing in Norwalk, what we will do in December 10th, is not a museum piece. That's not what I want to do. I don't want to recreate something as if to see how it would have been performed 250 years ago but at the same time, I don't want to go against it. I want it to be relevant for now. I want the people that are going to go there to enjoy a performance that is relevant for today, but at the same time, trying to connect with the spirit and the way that somebody was thinking at the time. So that makes it an interesting challenge, an interesting kind of project for all of us.
Oh yeah, because you know we're used to hearing, I think, pieces that are much closer to the composer's intentions. And what's so interesting about Messiah too is that it was written with an eye toward being a really popular piece. I mean, Handel, you know, had to get people in the door and make money from it. So it's a very accessible piece, even from its very beginnings.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Handel was an ambitious composer, and he wanted to do well. And at some point, he was the head of not one or two, but three opera companies, and then changes in taste, in politics, even the fashion as dictated by the royalty kind of made the operas not so popular. So he started doing these oratorios that were much cheaper to put together because he didn't have to worry about costumes and sets. And at the same time, he could hire his favorite singers. And yes, he was ambitious and he wanted to do well. And at the same time, he was ambitious in his artistic ways. And there is a legend, maybe it's apocryphal, but somebody said to him that people were very entertained after the performances of Messiah. And he said something to the point of, well, I hope they also learn something because it's not only entertaining. So he really wanted to convince. But he was definitely had a very keen theatrical instinct and was able to make this oratorio that is in some way very abstract feel very much like the people were attending an opera, even if it was in a church or in the concert hall.
Yeah, and I love how there's a lot of word painting in it too, with when they're talking about making the crooked road straight. It's just a really wonderful moment.
Incredible. I don't know how many hours we have, but I could talk about every movement, how he plays with those word paintings and how he plays with even topical references to his time. He was very smart at writing pieces. For example, he's talking about the preachers, so he makes the music of his time sound old, as if to refer to the older figures of the past. And then he's talking about the future, and he's putting music that sounds almost like Mozart is composing them. It's kind of his own future. So he's incredibly creative, just endlessly creative.
Oh, wow. I hadn't really picked up on that. That is a really, really interesting thing to be listening for. That's really amazing. And I think it's interesting, too, that he wrote for very particular performers and really played to their strengths and, covered up their weaknesses. Is that a problem for singers these days, knowing that it was written for these very particular voices?
Well, you know, at that point, that's just how the way they did it. And even Mozart, a few decades later, was also writing for specific performance in mind. I wish we would have the flexibility, which somebody like Rossini even had even more, that they would just go to a new town and let's say that the role that he composed was too low for that specific singer, they would just transpose it or change it. And in fact, Handel, we have a few different versions of some of the movements from when he did it in London after premiering it in Dublin. So I don't think it's a problem for the singers now because basically we just kind of accepted the way it is. In a way, it's a problem more for us, the conductors and the impresarios, that we need to cast these roles. Because a specific singer, for example, could be a very low bass but with very good high notes. And so we need to find somebody who would kind of be able to portray those extremes in a good way, right? So we kind of need to find that. But at the same time, it's kind of fun to find different performers who kind of will bring a new light on the music by their backgrounds and intuition and preparation, a little bit of that.
Yeah, that would be interesting too. And the newest edition that I know of was edited by Tone Koopman in 2009. Is that the version that you're using?
No, I'm hoping to use that the next time. I'm still kind of looking at that. I love Tone Koopman. We are using the Oxford edition, which is kind of like the one before last that was around in the market. And it's very interesting to study editions, right? Because there is always somebody who finds a new document or a new enlightening thing. I've been looking for fun at and for studying at the manuscript of Messiah, and it's actually not easy to read because, you know, when we think about it, he wrote it in 22 days. It's kind of ridiculous. And so, and they were working with ink. So it's really hard to read because the pagination is not very, very orderly. So editors have a feast with that because they need to figure out certain things, making decisions based on how you look at the page. You know, you can look at it certain things in different ways. And, you know, coming back to what we're just talking about, the soloists, actually we have a very nice, diverse cast for our performance. We have a soprano from Canada, a countertenor from Israel, a tenor from Germany, and an American bass. So it's really very much kind of an international roster of soloists that they are so good, and it's going to be so interesting to kind of put them together on the stage to tell this amazing story.
Yeah, I'll bet. That's really interesting because I'm sure each one of them has a different sort of perspective on what it means to them and then how to perform it. So making it a cohesive group is going to be an interesting challenge for you.
Yes.
And then who is the orchestra who's going to be accompanying?
The orchestra is the orchestra of the Fairfield County Chorale, how we call it. It's, you know, we have a group that performs most of our concert with us. Our concertmaster is Christoph Wittek, who's also the concertmaster of Greenwich Symphony. And most of our players perform all of our concerts together, so we get to know each other. And it's a really good group with some exceptional soloists in the first oboe, first trumpet, for the trumpet has sound, you know, people that play in the Metropolitan Opera and places like that they play in our orchestra. So we're very happy with that.
Yeah, that's going to be amazing. David, the whole program just sounds absolutely wonderful and a great addition to the holiday season. And thank you so much for taking some time to tell us about it.
Thank you so much. I hope to see many of your listeners in the concert. Thank you so much.